God, again, as we come to this moment, as we open up your holy scriptures, Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you would convict us of our sin. God, I pray for anyone here that has yet to see who Christ truly is, Father, that you would reveal yourself to them. You would draw them to yourself. You would open their eyes, Father, so that they can see the beauty and the glory of their Savior today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Last week, we saw where one of the seven, Philip, went and left Jerusalem and went to another city, another place. He went to Samaria, a place where the Jews did not really, they didn't get along with the Samaritans, didn't like them. They really hated one another for cultural and religious reasons that went back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And yet Philip remembered Christ saying that they were going to be the witnesses, his witnesses, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. And so he goes and he proclaims the word of God, proclaims the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And many believe. And then we saw one that didn't truly believe, Simon the magician. Well, after that, we're going to see this morning that God is continuing to work through Philip. He's going to continue to use Philip as an instrument of his to speak forth the word of the Lord. So far in the book of Acts, as we've seen the church expanding and growing, most of the time we've seen a big picture, if you will, evangelism. Peter preaching at Pentecost and thousands becoming saved. Later preaching there at the temple and others, thousands being saved. And it continues to say the Lord added to their number daily. And the church is growing, and most of the time we've seen a mass evangelism in that way. But now, here in chapter 8, and then in chapters 9 and 10, Luke is going to really zoom in on just a few individuals. And there's reasons for that. And this morning we're going to see one of those individuals. And this is a man that's known as the Ethiopian eunuch. One who will come to know the gospel by God's grace and become a believer. So with that, let's stand together and read, beginning in Acts chapter 8, we'll begin in verse 25. And when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, that being the disciples, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert road. And he got up and he went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he, being the Ethiopian eunuch, said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer, silent. He does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Again, Father, we pray and ask that you would help us to see and to understand your word today, Father. As you lead and guide your people with a message in their hearts and on their lips, Father, God, I pray that you would help us to see this today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. There's a lot. We all have stories. If you are a believer, you have a gospel story. You have a story of how God saved you. And we could go around the room and hear how God did that. And it's miraculous, and it's wonderful. And yet, there's something that I believe in each story that is the same. You have God's guidance in leading you as the one receiving the grace and the gospel, God guiding you, and also guiding the one that spoke forth the word to you. Then you also have the word that was spoken, the gospel, and you have a response to that gospel. And it's those several things, three things really, that we're going to look at briefly this morning is, again, God's guiding providence to save us, God's message of salvation, and then the response to that providence and message. In verses 26 through 29, we see God's guiding providence in both the life of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. So look at verse 26. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." So, again, Philip had been in Jerusalem. He went to Samaria, shared the gospel there, and now the Spirit of the Lord, through the angel, is telling him, go to another road, a road that's down south going towards Gaza, that's really going towards Africa. And you're going to be on a desert road. Now, this is a dangerous road. This once was one of the cities where the Philistines in the Old Testament, one of their five cities that they had. And but now it's under the area of Palestine. And so things are a little different. The city had been destroyed several decades before this. But God is leading him to a desert road. A desert road that could be full of dangers and toils and different things like that, and snares all around him. And God's got a purpose for that. God's got a reason to lead Philip to this road. God leads us in all kinds of ways, and sometimes we question, why here, why now, why? What is the purpose of this? Philip, we don't know what's in his head, what's in his heart, what's he wondering, but he goes, he obediently follows the Lord to this desert road. And then as he's on this road, we see in verse 27, so he got up and he went, and on this road there was an Ethiopian eunuch. And Luke tells us a little bit about this man. He was an official, the treasurer of the Queen of Candace of the Ethiopians. He had a high-ranking position. Most likely this man was a Gentile, an African, that had come from Ethiopia up to Jerusalem to worship at one of the times of the pilgrimages and worship there in Jerusalem. So he's gone up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord as God has revealed himself in the Old Testament. He's believed in Judaism, this Ethiopian eunuch, and now he's on his way back. And he's there in the road, and he's sitting in his chariot, and he's reading a scroll. He's not reading just any scroll. He's not reading the daily Jerusalem paper. He's reading the Bible, the Scriptures. He's reading not just any passage of Scripture. He's reading the book of Isaiah. And God is working all these details and all of these things out. So just think about this for just a moment. Somehow, someway, this Ethiopian eunuch, while he was there in Ethiopia, hears about God. God, as he's revealed himself to this point. And he becomes a follower of Judaism. And he has the means and the money and the status to be able to leave Ethiopia to go to Jerusalem to worship. And even the means to have a scroll of Isaiah there in this chariot. That doesn't just happen in that day. You had to have means and money to be able to do this. We all are spoiled with all the Bibles that we have on our phone, on our shelves, in our cars. Wherever you have a Bible, that didn't just happen in this day. Most of the time they would have been there at the temple and the synagogues and things like that. But this Ethiopian eunuch is a searcher. He's looking, seeking to worship God and to know Him truly, and he has this scroll. Don't know exactly what it would have looked like, but it's a scroll of the book of Isaiah. And so God has orchestrated all of this in the life of this Ethiopian. You have him here on this road. And then the Spirit of God leads Philip to go to this road. And God is orchestrating and working out all of these details so that these two can meet. Why does the Ethiopian eunuch stop right there in the road on his chariot? Well, it's because of God's divine providence. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't an accident. God had a purpose in him being there and a purpose in Philip going from Samaria down to this desert road so that they could meet one another. And if you think about your own life, it's hard sometimes to understand what God is doing in a specific moment in your life. Sometimes God is gracious and kind after a season for us to step back and say, wow, there was the hand of God in all of that. He was orchestrating every single detail. And even sometimes, when we don't even understand that from this perspective, one day we will see, what's Paul say? We see now as through a glass dimly, but one day we will see clearly. We will understand better. We will understand it as we sing better by and by. God is working. God is working all of these details out. And again, if you think about your own salvation experience, God was working in your own heart, working in your own life. Parents and grandparents who shared the gospel with you day after day. God orchestrating Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and pastors who would preach and teach the word to you. Maybe you had a different kind of experience. Maybe there's people that showed up at a random hotel. They opened a drawer one night and found a Gideon's Bible there and began to read it and become convinced of the truth, God working in different ways. There's people that come to know the Lord through great suffering and pain that they experience or a family member experiences, and all of a sudden they're just crying out to a God that they don't know, and a friend or a family member or a pastor or somebody is able to speak truth into those moments. God works all kinds of details out in these moments, just like this Ethiopian eunuch and just like Philip. And we see, again, not only God working in these details, we see Philip being willing to go and to do that. And God using Philip in that way. So we see the guidance, but then we also see this message that Philip's going to share with him. Verse 29 tells us the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. So verse 30 tells us, Philip ran up and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. At this time, most people would read out loud. There's a lot of people that feel self-conscious now about reading out loud. You just want to read to yourself. But this was the practice of the day, to read out loud. And he's reading, and all of a sudden, you can picture this, Philip's ears are just tingling because he knows this passage. He's heard this. He knows of this passage in Isaiah, and he asked this question in verse 30. Do you understand what you're reading? Hey, do you know what's going on? Do you know what's going on in this passage? And humbly, the Ethiopian eunuch says there in verse 31, well, how can I unless someone guides me? There's a door right there. It doesn't always happen that easily in our sharing of our faith and evangelism, but sometimes God puts an Ethiopian eunuch right in your way who says, tell me about this passage. Tell me about the scriptures. And what does Philip do? He's going to listen to this passage. He's going to share with him who he is. Again, this is why I believe that this is the providence of God working out all these details. Because the Ethiopian eunuch's not just reading any passage. Out of all the passages in all of the Old Testament, which is large, He has a scroll of Isaiah, and he has a scroll of Isaiah 53, one of the most beautiful passages in all of the Bible, a passage of Scripture. Let me read it for us, just part. It's very familiar. Verse 4, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. By his scourgings we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him." Then here's the passage that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living?" Isaiah goes on and tells us it pleased the Lord to crush him, putting him to grief. And later, he would say that he bore the sins of many. God was orchestrating all of this out. And here, in this divine moment, the Ethiopian eunuch says this question: who is Isaiah writing about? Who is this about? Who would bear the sins of many? Who would be crushed? Who would be led to the slaughter? Was it Isaiah? Or was it someone else? And there in verse 35, another beautiful verse: "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him." He preached Jesus to him. He tells this Ethiopian eunuch, "I have some good news for you." Because this passage in Isaiah 53 that you just read, this passage right here, has just been fulfilled not long ago. "I've seen the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The one that has a precious blood that was poured out for us. The true Passover Lamb. The true sacrifice for sins. It's Jesus. He's come. He has come and he has bore our sins." Ethiopian eunuch, he's bore your sins. He's bore my sins. He preaches Jesus to him. It's at least worth noting for us in our own opportunities to share the gospel is that Philip was ready for this moment. He was prepared for this moment. He was prepared because he knew Christ and believed in Christ. And he was prepared to defend Christ and make him known through the scriptures. In part, we come to worship the Lord each and every week. But in part, we're not just passive in our worship. We're active and we're learning and we're being equipped week after week after week so that you too, in your own daily lives, can go out and preach Jesus, proclaim Jesus to those around us. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3 that we always must be ready to make a defense for those who ask us about the hope of Christ in us. Evangelism, again, doesn't always happen this easily, but sometimes it does. Sometimes God gives us opportunities. Tomorrow, you may be talking to a neighbor or a coworker, and you tell them, you ask them what they did for this weekend, and hopefully they'll ask you what you did, and you get to say, I went to church. I got to worship the Lord. And then there's a door, hopefully, and you can preach Jesus to them. Share Christ with them. Sometimes God uses, again, suffering. You have to be careful in suffering, not to just preach at people. You want to be loving to them. But there's an opportunity. When we come alongside people who are suffering and struggling, to be able to point them to a greater hope. To be able to say, hey, listen, things are bad, difficult, but let me tell you about the Savior. Let me tell you about the one who defeated death through his resurrection. We get to proclaim Christ each and every day. This is not just something that you say you believe and it doesn't transform you. If you are a believer, you are changed by the gospel, changed by the Spirit. You must be convinced of this. And Philip preaches Jesus to this Ethiopian eunuch. We too must take advantage of these opportunities. And then we see in the last few verses, we see this response by Philip, both Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 36 tells us this. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" So we don't exactly know the rest of the conversation. Luke doesn't record that for us. But at some point in this conversation, Philip not only tells this Ethiopian eunuch, "Hey, this is about Jesus," but he obviously is explaining discipleship and explaining what it means to follow Christ. And he knows the commandment of Christ is to be a follower, is to be a baptized believer. And so they're in this chariot going along the road, and they see some water. He wants to be baptized. And Philip is going to do that. There's this confession there in verse 37 and in verse 38. He ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. This was him being obedient. This was him trusting in Christ and saying, "I'm going to follow Christ. I no longer live for myself. I no longer live for this world. I live for Christ, my Savior." And notice, through all of this, this is how God was orchestrating this. God was seeking after this Ethiopian eunuch. In your own salvation, God was seeking after you. Luke 19:10, Jesus came, said, "I came to save and seek that which is lost." He pursues us by His grace and His mercy, His Spirit, to draw us near, to open our eyes, to save us and to give us salvation. And God pursued this Ethiopian eunuch, and he believes and he's baptized. He responds positively to the gospel, which is encouraging. Because where did we leave off in the last passage last week? And a guy, Simon the magician, who claimed to believe, who even was baptized, would Peter say, "Your heart's not right with the Lord." And it seemed that he never truly had repented and was right with God. And you would think that Philip might just say, "Just get a little discouraged. Didn't work. Is this going to work?" No, no, no. He knows God is bigger than that. He knows that God has the power to save and to change lives. And so he continues to share the gospel, continues to preach, and this Ethiopian eunuch is saved. Verse 39 tells us, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him. But he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through. He kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So Luke is putting a lot here in these couple of verses. Not exactly sure what he means that he was snatched away. Does it mean that literally the Spirit made him disappear to another place? Potentially, possibly. Or maybe it was just pretty quick right after this. Either way, he goes away from this Ethiopian eunuch, and what's he do? He's in another place, in another city, and he's going to go up the coast until he gets to Caesarea, and he's going to make his life there. We'll meet Philip again in Acts chapter 21, where he has daughters later on, but he continues to preach the gospel because he believes it's the good news of the gospel and the proclamation of Christ that changes people's lives. He is sold out for Christ. His life no longer belongs to him. If you are a believer today, your life no longer belongs to you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about making much of Christ each and every day. And how does the Ethiopian eunuch respond? Look at there in verse 39. After he's baptized, after Philip is snatched away, it says the eunuch no longer saw him but went away rejoicing. He went away rejoicing. Why? Because he had been made new by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a couple other passages in Isaiah that are worth just mentioning for just a moment about that I think are fulfilled with this Ethiopian eunuch. Reasons for him to rejoice. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord again will recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people. So he's saving his people who will remain. And he's not talking about just the Jews. He's talking about from the nations. And listen to this. From Assyria and Egypt and Pathros and Cush, which is also known as Ethiopia. So here's check one for this Ethiopian eunuch. And then after Isaiah 53, as the scriptures go on, Isaiah 56, verse 3, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who will keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I shall give my house and within my walls a memorial. And here, listen to this. And a name better than that of sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. That's why the Ethiopian eunuch went away rejoicing. Let's rewind for just a second. Where was he before this moment? He was in Jerusalem at the temple as a Gentile and a eunuch, and he had no access into that temple. He could go to the court of the Gentiles, but again, him being a eunuch separates him even further. But now, because of Christ, he has full access to God. And his sins are washed away. And he is brought into the family of God. He has been purchased with the blood of the Lamb. He has been given new life. And he has every single reason to rejoice in Christ. And if you are a believer today, you have every single reason to rejoice in Christ. He has forgiven you of every sin that you have committed in your heart, in your mind, in your actions. He's forgiven those through the blood of Christ. It wasn't free. It was paid on at Calvary by Christ himself for us. And you have every reason each and every day to wake up rejoicing in the Lord. What did Paul say in Philippians 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We are to rejoice every day if you are in Christ Jesus. One pastor said it this way. Indeed, there is no joy like the joy that comes to the one who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Do you have reason to rejoice in Christ this morning? That's my prayer, that you can say yes and amen to that statement. In just a moment, the Lord invites us to come to this table, to commune with him, to dine with him through the Lord's Supper. And this is only for those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This is only for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is this table for? It's a picture of the gospel, of the body that was given for us and the blood that was poured out for us. And each and every time we come to this table, we remember. We remember our sin, and we remember our greater Savior. Remember the sacrifice of Christ. And it's a reminder that we're no longer who we once were. And it's a picture pointing forward to a day where one day we will be there at the marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we will no longer struggle with sin and temptation. We will be pure and holy and blameless finally because of Christ. And we will forever commune with him in glory. And that's what this table's for. And so before we come to the table, I want each of us to just examine our hearts. So Paul tells us to do in 1 Corinthians 11. Examine our hearts if there is any unconfessed, unrepentant sin, even as believers. cast them to the Lord and to remember the mercy of the Savior who was led to the slaughter for us, who was put to death and crushed for our iniquities. So I'm going to give you a moment. You pray, and then I'll pray for us. Father, we do understand and recognize our great sin against you. How we have been born with a sinful nature. How we've rebelled against you, God. We've gone our own way, Father. And yet, Lord, we look at a passage like this and we're reminded of your mercy and your grace that you extend to us through your Son, that you've shown to us through Christ Jesus. God, I thank you for your mercy to that Ethiopian eunuch so long ago, Lord, who went away changed and rejoicing, taking the gospel with him. God, that was just the beginning of your gospel spreading throughout the rest of the world to now which we are recipients of that same gospel so that we too can understand our sin and understand how great Christ is, that his grace is greater than all of our sin, Father. God, I pray that you would help us in this moment to, yes, remember and confess and repent of our sin. But Lord, let us not stay there. Let us flee and fly to the mercy that is found in Christ Jesus as we take of the bread and take of the cup to remember of what Christ has done for us to make us his own and to make us new. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.